trying to process it in my brain right now. I was always
you remember your name, right?
I was about to say, I was always a visual learner for Mike. He would always like explain things, and I'm just like, you're going to have to show me that before I do it. All right. This is Taylor Marino, UNC Women's Lacrosse, and you're listening to the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast.
Yeah, one take.
Boom! The Mike Kaplan 100 podcast has been brought to you by RefereeRant.com. This is our craft. This is our skill. This is our voice. We have something to say. Referee Rant was conceived by a lowly official, me, looking to make side money on the weekend. Not that he didn't take it serious. He never thought of it as a skill, a craft, right there for the taking to master. Flag football turned into softball, softball to lacrosse, then basketball. Football, soccer, baseball soon followed. We're on the field. We're on the court. You may ref better than us, but you can't write like us. You might write better than us, but you can't ref like us. Marrying art and officiating. Find us at RefereeRant.com. Fight!
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do it. Our guest today is UNC lacrosse goalie Taylor Marino. How are we doing, Taylor?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being on the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast.
Thanks for having me.
How's it been? How's school going?
School's been good. Literally going on fifth year of academics and lacrosse, so been getting pretty used to it by now.
So what, you know, you starting out in, you know, in high school, you're one of the best goalies in the country. You also played high school basketball for me at Huntington High School. What was the whole recruiting process like for you back then? You know, and how did you decide to go to UNC knowing you had so many schools looking at you?
I really relied heavily on club lacrosse. The club program I played for, Team Elevate, really kind of put me on this pedestal and really exposed me to a lot of these high-level programs. And when it came down to picking where I wanted to go, I really made sure that I looked at every single school possible. I made sure I went on every single visit just to make sure that going and being on campus, I would realize, like, you know, I could see myself fitting in here. I can see myself playing for this kind of program, really falling in love with the culture and everything that the teams had. So UNC was actually one of my final visits. I hit North Carolina, I did Elon, High Point, and UNC, and literally hadn't even gotten out of the car, and I was like, I could see myself going here, this is where I want to go. And it was a really unique situation because Carolina wasn't looking for a goalie recruit in my class, so Jenny Levy was basically like, look, we would love to have you, you're a great kid, but you're going to be taking a chance, and we can't promise you anything because we really weren't looking for a kid in your grade at that position, but if you want to come here and show up and really prove yourself, then we'd be more than happy to give you a spot on the team. So at that point, it was kind of a no-brainer. I'd been kind of working my ass off the whole of high school because, you know, high school wasn't necessarily the greatest experience, but obviously playing club lacrosse was just, like, amazing, and it was a whole different experience. So that kind of just really played into my decision.
Yeah, shout out to Team Elevate. They do a great job, you know, getting the top kids from Long Island going to great colleges academically. So shout out to Team Elevate. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how prepared would you say you were for college? And then based on how you thought it was going to be, how was it actually?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably say I was around an 8. Or so I thought I was. Obviously, going in senior year, kind of injuries kind of set me back a little bit. But I think that almost kind of helped me to kind of observe and really slowly integrate myself in. It wasn't like I was just getting thrown in. But obviously, injuries are not great and definitely could have gone without them. But I think going in and actually really getting thrown into, like, strength and conditioning and really doing things that I was not really used to, that really prepared me to kind of be like, all right, so I got to lock in, buy into a program, and really work my butt off to kind of prove myself. And I think probably the expectation was probably I was more so at like a 4 or 5. Yeah. But yeah, I think the whole experience in itself is just completely worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I know the whole story about, you know, how you went there and they told you really weren't, you know, you didn't know if you were going to play, and then you kind of did your thing, stepped up, and then became, you know, their top goalie. Just tell that story and just explain how you really just didn't give up and you kept pushing, and then you became the starting goalie.
It really started off, obviously, tore my ACL my senior year of high school and playing basketball. And when I came in my freshman year at UNC, I was like, all right, I'm ready to go. Like, let's get this show on the road. And they were basically like, yeah, no, not happening. So they put me through like another 4 months of just rigorous strength and conditioning and rehab to really strengthen up my leg. And when I was finally able to start playing on the field again, it's just something didn't really feel right. My knee still wasn't 100%. Turned out, tore my ACL again, had no idea it was gone. So I went in for my second surgery a year and 3 days after my first one. That was kind of a big mental hit, just kind of being like, wow, is this going to be like my whole road? Like, is this going to be what my athletic career comes to? Is this how it's going to end? But I just kept pushing on and kept doing the rehab and all that stuff. And our strength and conditioning coach, Eric Hernandez, just he does a ton of research in terms of rehab. And he was just basically, he wasn't going to sugarcoat anything. So that kind of really shifted my mentality. I'm like, okay, if I put my head down and I really just grind and do what I'm supposed to do, like my leg will be back to where it needs to be. So come that spring of my academic sophomore year, we started playing. And I was playing more so second half. We were kind of splitting everything. And when you're playing one position that only has one spot, it kind of really does come down to the right numbers. It's kind of like whoever's performing better numbers-wise is kind of be the kid that takes it up. So throughout the beginning of the season, I started to really have the better numbers, the higher save percentage. So I end up getting the starting spot. And we were actually at Northwestern first half, and I just kind of was moving like I normally would move, and then all of a sudden I got a pop in my knee. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I just did my ACL for the third time. Luckily, it was not. It was just a meniscus, but that put me out for another 3 weeks. So fast forward 3 weeks, we're now in the ACC tournament. I haven't really played. Like, I'm kind of like a little rusty now. I played second half of our Syracuse game, which we won. Then I re-won our starting spot and played the entire game of our Virginia Tech game, tied my career high for 17 saves, and then we ended up going and winning the ACC championship. I played the whole game and won tournament MVP and set a tournament record for saves. And it was just honestly like this like light bulb moment for me. I was just basically like, wow, like if you really just buy in and you work hard, like no matter what you face, no matter what obstacles you have to overcome, like it'll all be worth it in the end. And you really just, it's kind of inspiring for yourself to kind of be like, wow, all right, I overcame 3 knee injuries, yeah, and then won tournament MVP and won an ACC championship. So.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, that's inspirational stuff going from 3 surgeries to then, you know, bringing your team to that ACC tournament. I mean, I was going to ask what, you know, your best moment of your career is. I would assume that would be it.
Yeah, for sure.
And how cool is it, you know, I know you played in, you know, Final Four as well. I mean, what was playing in the ACC and playing, you know, the best teams in the country, non-conference, what was the coolest place you played at?
To be honest, probably our new facility that we just had built with Dorrance Field. Just the fact that we went from just such a small, cramped locker room to these kind of, granted, Fetzer was beautiful and it was so nice and very open and the fans were so close. But because they designed our new stadium like a soccer stadium, the fans are just right on top of you. The grass is beautiful. Our field crew is amazing. So I would definitely say that was probably one of my favorite moments, was opening up finally there in the new field, because we were playing in Keenan for a while. But just to kind of like have our own like home back again and a beautiful field to play on, I think has been just an amazing experience. And new locker room, new facilities, the whole 9 yards has just been like so sick.
That being said, being at UNC, unbelievable facilities, everything in school is gorgeous. What is it like when you play Duke?
Oh, boy. So there's a tradition whenever we play Duke. So whether it be at home or it be at Duke, if Carolina comes out with a win, everybody rushes Franklin Street. It is just like, doesn't matter where you are, you're out the door running to Franklin Street.
Is that any sport or just?
Mainly basketball, because basketball is just where it's just so big. Our football team has their own ritual when they play Duke, they have like this giant bell that whoever wins gets to take it back into Chapel Hill or Durham. It's just an amazing experience. Like even when we won the national championship in basketball, I've never experienced anything like That's it. So I've cool. never seen a street full of so many people at one time. People climbing telephone poles. Like it's insane.
What was it like when you went to that first Duke UNC game? Was it just
so loud?
Yeah.
It's so loud.
Staying the whole time.
Oh my goodness. You can't hear anything. It's just like as from the moment you walk in, people are screaming. It is just like absurd. Our student section is probably one of the craziest. And I also don't even want to know what it's like to play at Duke because that gym is so small compared to ours. And they're right on, like you can't like you don't see anything else around the court. It's literally just people all the way around. So
yeah, it's definitely a bucket list thing for me, I think, going to a Duke UNC basketball game. That's just, I can only imagine what it's like there. Wild. Playing lacrosse your whole life, now being, you know, going through so many different injuries. When did you really start playing? Again, you were a three-sport athlete, you know, won tons of awards in all three sports. When did you really decide to just play lacrosse and then really, you know, get serious to where you wanted to play at the next level?
Yeah, so I would say it was probably around, like, just before middle school and into middle school is when I really decided, you know, lacrosse is something I really, really enjoy. I originally started off as a midfielder and then kind of had to take my shot as a goalie because we didn't really have a set goalie in, like, you know, our town team. So once I finally got to play the position, I was, like, just such an adrenaline rush, and I'm like, wow, I really love this. And then once I kind of saw myself excelling a little bit more in that sport, I was kind of like, okay, I think this might be the route I want to go. This might be the sport I want to play in college or at the next level. So that was kind of like the big moment for me where I was kind of like, all right, got to really put in the time and the effort into focusing solely on my game and everything in this sport. So that was kind of where I took it. And once I basically decided to commit myself to all year round club lacrosse, I think that was really like the big moment to be like, okay, this is what I'm going to do.
That's awesome, man. I'm excited for your journey. You know, now that we're working out here, preparing you for your senior year, possibly, you know, you have another year if you take it. You guys made the Final Four. You'll be one of the best teams in the country. I'm hoping you guys could win that national championship. Why don't you describe the first time you worked out here? What was that like for you?
Oh, wow. It was,
especially coming from watching the videos on Instagram, how different was it? And Ralph could attest to that.
If I could describe it in one word, it's very unexpected. It kind of looks like, you know, not a big deal when you're watching it, and then you kind of get in, you get into the meat of it, and you're just like, okay, crap, this is definitely tougher than I expected it to be, which obviously I'm not complaining. Definitely something I need, but definitely threw me for a loop.
Yeah, listen, I want to interject for a second because I'll always remember Taylor because I was right behind her when I was doing for the first, like, I finally was like, all right, I'm going to muster the courage and start being athletic, getting involved. And I remember I'm just watching Taylor, and listen, I've been videoing everybody, and I'm like, why does this look so easy? Right? Then I see Taylor doing, all right, she's doing a very ho-hum, I do it. I'm like, yo, this is the realest. And I coined the phrase, I call it reverse peer pressure, right? So, like, you see all of these athletes doing it, and you're like, I got some personal pride. I got competitive spirit. I want to keep up with Taylor. Would you consider this reverse peer pressure when you're seeing all the other athletes doing it?
Yeah, probably. I definitely think they suckered you into that one.
You just can't keep
By
up.
The time you get back from school next time, you're going to be like, oh,
yeah,
damn, Rouse well, changed me.
I want to see you doing the icky shuffle like it's nobody's business.
Working on it. Mike, if I can interject, yep. I know that Taylor is special to you because she's played on your basketball team at the high school level. What was it like playing for Mike? And,
oh, goodness.
And how different is he from basketball coach to being Mike Kaplan 100, the trainer?
Yes, me and Mike have a very unique relationship. Let's just say I may have, like, gotten terrified the first time. You know, you show up and Mike's like, all right, everybody get on the line. You're like, oh, crap, here we go. And I remember the times where we'd be playing teams and he'd be like, all right, for every three this kid makes, you guys run into 17 in practice the next day. And we're all like, all right, everybody lock it in. This girl's not shooting any threes whatsoever. So I give him props, though, because he probably disciplined me to the point where it prepared me for college. I was, you know, able to really, like, lock in and be like, all right, Mike and Bergman have trained me well enough in this aspect, like definitely can handle pretty much anything. But yeah, props to Mike and Bergman. They really created such a dynasty program at Huntington Basketball. And I definitely, a lot of the things that I do now, I probably wouldn't have done had I never played for him.
Is he a different person here?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Because I'm like, this is the most laid back. Like, how are you a coach that, like, I hear all these stories of, like, you disciplining people? I'm like, this guy's always on his phone, like, filming people. I'm like, there's no way that this is there. And then just to you, Mike, what was it like? Because I remember you were telling me, yeah, Taylor's coming. She plays at North Carolina. And she played for me in basketball for Huntington. But she's a special athlete. She's probably one of the best athletes. So what was it like, you know, watching her grow, coaching her, and seeing her go to the next level in lacrosse?
You know, she played in ninth grade for us. And, you know, it was a huge addition to our team. Then she really wanted to lock in on lacrosse, so took some time off to just get to where she's at now. And then she came back her junior year, and it was like, you know, a blessing from God. We just got the best athlete in the school. We were one of the best teams in Suffolk County, and she helped build the program to where it was. And like you said, she was, you know, one of the best athletes we ever had. She didn't play for, you know, since ninth grade. She came back junior year. It was all county, you know, junior, senior year. It was just unbelievable to see from – you know, a basketball person where, you know, basketball, I feel like, is a sport you have to play every single day to really get better because there's so much to it. And she didn't play for like 2-3 years and just came back and was the best player, you know, on the team in the county. And she just took us and led the team. So I'm not surprised, you know, how well she's doing at the next level. And, you know, it's cool to hear her speak now, you know, in the moment when kids are in high school. You know, it's definitely a love-hate relationship. But as they get older and more mature, they understand why. Especially the, you know, the higher level ones that really want to go far. So it was a pleasure for me. And now it's, you know, it's fun to see that transition from me coaching her when she's a, you know, ninth grader in high school to now a senior in college. You know, it's just a cool experience.
Yeah, she has a flair for the dramatic. She always seems like you like to take some time off, whether it be an injury or decide to lock in another sport. I did want to ask you with that because, you know, what's really funny about me and Mike is that we are very similar because I coach a girls' volleyball team. It's same thing. I have, like, some athletes that are really high level at the volleyball, but sometimes they're lacrosse players or they're basketball players. And then sometimes they'll go and say, like, well, you know what, I'm going to skip my junior year. What went into that decision when you ended up not playing basketball? What ultimately led you back to play? And do you regret it, too?
No, I think I definitely – there was one season where I didn't do anything in the winter, and I definitely regretted that. The second year that I decided not to play basketball, I did winter track instead. So it was more so me kind of honing in on, like, different athletic abilities and really working on different techniques. And obviously playing multiple sports can help you do that. It's like whether just, like, different skills or a different mindset or different conditioning. That kind of stuff was really kind of put into the decision to really just kind of not protect, like, lacrosse, but to basically, like, bring it to a whole new level. I think the biggest thing or the biggest mistake people make is being like, okay, like, I want to play football, I want to play basketball, I want to play soccer in college, so I have to only focus on that sport. But if you talk to any collegiate college coach or strength and conditioning coach, they'll tell you the more sports you play, the more versatile you are, like, the more adept you are at doing different lifting styles, different drills, different all that kind of stuff. So I think the biggest thing for me was just really honing in on different skills that I really hadn't worked on in a while.
Yeah, and I'll put that all together because it was a conundrum for me to think because, you know, I referee lacrosse and I'm thinking like, all right, you're a goalie. Like, definitely don't look like a goalie. And then Mike was like, you're the best athlete that you ever coached. I'm like, so then why are you a goalie? And then you told me, what are the advantages of being so athletic, but putting in yourself in a position that is seldom seen as, like, the most athletic person on the team?
Yeah, so a lot of the times, granted, all college goalies are very good. Like, they just have their own style, their own technique, and that's what makes them special. And that's why a lot of these girls go and play high-level Division I lacrosse. For me, my asset was the fact that I was athletic, and I think a lot of people didn't necessarily anticipate that. But the difference is, like, you kind of gain a little bit more of an advantage over some people sometimes who are not necessarily expecting it. So it's kind of like whether that be you coming on and intercepting a pass. Like, you know, people kind of get lazy sometimes. They just kind of throw it behind to X. But you come pop out and you make up an interception, it's going to be like, oh, wow, okay, I got to really take that extra step. I really got to slow it down. It kind of puts your defense in, like, a better position to kind of take a little bit of pressure off of them. But whether it be just, like, other situations where it's just, like, you know, a girl comes around the front of the crease and you're just, instead of staying in one place and just trying to rely on your hands, you're actually moving with them and you're right. catching balls and making saves with like your legs or your feet or stuff like that. People are not really expecting that. And it's so funny now, like being in college, like when we practice, it's become such a habit for me that sometimes I'll just, the ball looks like it's going in and all of a sudden I get a piece of it with my foot or my arm or like my leg and people are like, oh my God, can you stop doing that? Like enough of it already. But yeah, those are just kind of the things that like being athletic and working on your athleticism, especially in a position that's not really required, can kind of work to your advantage.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's great stuff. She's definitely, if you ever see her, I mean, hopefully you'll get to watch her now, you know, on TV, but Taylor's definitely a different kind of goalie. She comes out of the cage a lot and uses that athleticism, which is, you know, not really, you know, I would say what not a lot of goalies do what you can do physically coming out of the net. First, I want to thank you for being on the show. I'm hoping the next time you come, you're going to bring your national championship ring, lead UNC to a national championship. But before we close, we're going to keep it 100 with Mike Kaplan. So it's going to be one word answer. I'm going to give you two different things. Rapid fire. You ready to roll?
Yeah.
All right. Sleds or resistance bands?
Sleds.
Beach or snow?
Beach.
Hip-hop or country?
Hip-hop.
Long distance or sprints?
Sprints.
17s?
Oh, yes.
TikTok or Instagram?
Instagram.
Squats or lunges?
Squats.
FaceTime or text?
FaceTime.
Spotify, Apple Music?
Spotify.
AirPods or Beats?
Beats.
Nike, Under Armour?
Nike.
Netflix, Hulu?
Netflix.
Ed Sheeran or Justin Bieber?
Justin Bieber.
There you go. What's your favorite late night snack?
Probably ice cream.
What kind?
Vanilla with some chocolate chips on there.
There you go.
So I got one more. Who would you rather marry, a Maryland grad or a Duke grad?
Duke grad. Oh. They got the brains.
Well, Taylor, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate you being on and, you know, giving your words of wisdom to these younger athletes and just sharing your story. I think it's really special for younger kids to listen from where you started out, you know, with your three injuries to leading, you know, your team to a championship. Just great advice. Wish you the best of luck. And like I said, hopefully you bring home a national championship ring. Thank you so much for being on the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.